So, here's my question. What in the world does the egg have to do with Jesus? Yeah, no. You probably could. So, we love eggs, we love Jesus. So, somebody describe that egg to me in its fullness. It's white. Okay. I could preach that, but no, that's not where we're headed. So, somebody give me the parts of an egg. The yolk, the white, and the shell. So, here's it. So, you can pull it down, Mariah. We're good. So, tonight, we're going to talk about the Trinity. Is that a river? Yes, that's a river. We're not going to talk about that Trinity, because that will get Aaron in lots and lots of trouble. We're not talking about that Trinity. The Trinity is a word used to describe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we don't worship three different gods. It's all one and the same. Three different parts, shows up in three different ways, made up of three different parts, okay? Just like the egg. When I put that on the screen, none of y'all said, that's a yolk, an egg white, and a shell. No, it's an egg. That's it. That's all it was. The problem with using an egg as an example is the egg has three different parts. And those three different parts are all completely different. Does the yolk taste the same as the egg white? Okay. The yolk tastes bad, okay? That's Roxy's opinion. That's my favorite part, but yolk tastes bad. When you decide you want to try and put on weight, it doesn't work well for Aaron, but when I decide I want to go to the gym and try and put on muscle mass, you drink egg whites in the morning, no yolk, because they're like the fatty part and stuff. It lasts about this long. After like a month, I'm like, I've just worked out for a month, and I've put on 6 ounces. This is not worth it. I quit. So I'm a quitter. It's all good. But the yolk, again, is completely different from the shell. Do you eat the shell?
No.
No. That's totally nasty. They all serve different functions, but they're all completely different. So, I heard that's something my wife would do, put the shell in the cake. Oh. Have y'all eaten in my house before or something? Oh, shit. Yeah, she can make some fried eggs. Ask her when she learned how. I told her, I was like, make me a fried egg. She's like, a what? I was like, a fried egg. A what? Well, that too. She broke the yolk, and then she flipped it. I'm like, what are you doing? It's a heart attack in a pan, and it's amazing. You don't cook the yolk. The yolk's got to be runny, because then you soak it up with bacon and bread. Oh, yes, it does. Okay, no, the way Emily cooks bacon, no, because it's burnt. But the way I want my bacon cooked, yes, it soaks. So moving on to like the actual Bible part, not the terrible experiences of the frying pan in my house. We're going to John 14. That's where we're going to be. So, let me get there. So, I do have a quick question before we dive into this fully. I just thought about this. Those of you that were there Saturday night, did you have a good time? You guess. Okay. Would you be interested or willing to do that more like once a month or once every other month? One yes. And that person wasn't even there. So the rest of y'all are like, no, or are you just not paying attention? Oh, I can't hear shaking of heads. Kind of. Okay, and again, here's my promise in this whole picture. Okay, here's my promise. Emily will never again cook spaghetti. Okay, I promise you that. Now, she can cook anything else, but she cannot. She can't do chicken either. It's bloody. So, all right, here we go. Back to the word. Just wanted to see, we are going to be looking at doing some more of that stuff, hang out, we'll play some games or whatever. I did just figure out how to get, like, possibly every single old video game ever created for us to play. No. Well, I can do that. I have the capability. It just costs money, and that I don't have. But we can talk about that. So, John 14, starting in verse 6. We actually need to get back into the Word, because otherwise we're not going to get there. So, verse 6, Jesus told him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Notice the difference. Jesus and the Father there. If you'd really known me, you'd know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. So Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Jesus replied, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know who I am? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. Again, look, Jesus speaking of his Father as two different people, yet the same. Moving to verse 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. That'll preach. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you will also live. When I'm raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. So, even though we don't see the term Trinity right here in the Bible, the whole Bible speaks to this idea, as Troy said earlier, of a triune God, the Trinity. The three persons, okay? Jesus speaks. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's in me, I'm in him. I'm going to send you an advocate, okay? The Trinity is about a perfect relationship, okay? Think about your best friend in the whole world, that person that knows you better than anybody, that finishes your sentences, all that cute little soap opera-y drama stuff. Ethan, stop looking at Ivy. The floor? Oh, okay. So, anyways, it's similar to that, but then totally and completely different. It's hard for us to get fully the idea that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all three different things, but the same and equal as one God. A lot of different religions, as we're going to get to, mock Christians for this concept. They're like, well, y'all are worshiping three gods, not just one. They don't seem to understand that they're the same. They just fulfill different functions. The reality of it is, there's a lot about God that we just can't comprehend. Okay? Somebody explain to me why, in the Old Testament, he says, if your neighbor offends you, kill him. In the New Testament, he says, if your neighbor offends you, turn the other cheek. Same God. Why? Why two different messages? Maybe it got better? Yeah. There's some of these things that we're just not meant to comprehend. And I even get the idea that if God showed up and tried to explain to us the Trinity in itself, had all three persons of the Trinity standing here, we'd still be sitting here going, I don't get it. Like, Emily and myself and Karis are all Christiansens, but we're different. And I feel like it's the same way when God sits and tries to say, we're the same, but not. And somehow we're supposed to comprehend this. Once we begin to grasp it a little bit, it begins to unlock Scripture and why the different pieces need to happen the way they do. Okay? So, the Father is God. Okay? God the Father, that's what we say. In the Bible, we've got the Jewish view of God as the Father. That's what we see. When I look at you and I say, hey, who's your father? You're going to give me an answer. That person is the provider, the caretaker, sometimes the disciplinarian, but also the person who helped create your life. Okay? Donated chromosomes, and that's a whole other sermon series we'll get into later. In Judaism, the term father is more of what they've done for you. It's not necessarily in the provider concept, it's what they taught you, what they helped you through. And so when we sit and say, God is like our father, we're going, yeah, he makes sure that, you know, I'm clothed every day and makes sure that I'm provided for. In the Jewish culture, when they said God is like our father, they're more referencing the fact that God gave creation for us to dwell over. God gave salvation for us to live eternally with God. It's more of an action thing than a being, if that makes sense. If you have a man has sex with a woman and leaves, in theory, by design, that person would still be your father. The stepdad that shows up, adopts that child, and actually teaches them, helps grow them, or whatever, through that time period of their life, would be called a father as well. In American terms, as we would say, sperm donor is father. In Jewish terms, the stepdad is father. So God is more in the Jewish terms as far as he's what actually shows up, helps nurture and grow and perfect and mature us, not just this, hey, I gave you life, move on down the road. Makes somewhat sense, kind of? Not really? Totally lost? All right. The Son is God. Okay? Why, 2,000 years later, is Jesus such a polarizing figure in culture? Why is he still so debated, still argued about, and so misunderstood? Taught us we're not in control. Okay? Anybody else have any idea why Jesus is still such a hot button issue today? What does Instagram say, Danica? No? Okay. So, John 1 tells us that Jesus, the Word, existed from the beginning of time. He was in the Old Testament. He was in the New Testament. The prophet Isaiah proclaims him as Emmanuel. Throughout his ministry, he casts out demons. He heals the sick. He does miracles. All of these things that the religious leaders thought only God himself could do. And so they were mad about it. And then Jesus takes it a step further and says, actually, God and I are the same. So they're not happy about this at all. We are in the same kind of boat. We read part of the Bible that says, hey, this is God. This is what he does. This is how he acts. And then Jesus shows up and says, hey, I'm God too, and acts in a little different manner. Okay, again, God says, if you're offended, kill them. Jesus says, if you're offended, turn the other cheek. And so we have this almost contradictory idea, yet both people claiming the same thing. And at the end of the day, we see how the two fit together. God says, kill them if you're offended. Jesus says, it's better to overlook the offense and to turn the other cheek. So, Scripture teaches us that God is the creator. Jesus is the creator. Jesus is the first and last, as is God. Jesus is the I am, just as God is the I am. Jesus is the judge, and God is the judge. Yet God the Son gave his life for creation, sits at the right hand of God, and is waiting to redeem his people. For Jesus to sit at the right hand of God, he's got to be a separate entity. Fourth, the Holy Spirit is God. In John 14, the Holy Spirit is referenced as him over and over and over again. Now, most of the time we're going to read this, we're going to overlook it, we're not going to see any importance in it. This is huge, okay? How many of y'all have ever seen a ghost? That's what I thought. Okay. How many of y'all have ever had a conversation with a ghost? That's what I thought. Okay. How many of y'all have ever had a conversation with a him? A him. Am I a him or a her? A him. So how many people have ever had a conversation with a him? Talk to the him. Okay. Ivy still can't figure it out. Okay. We'll explain later after class. So, in order for us to have a conversation, the Holy Spirit has to be a person. It's got to be an actual entity. This concept of him as the Holy Ghost drives me crazy. The Bible tells us over and over and over again, the Holy Spirit is there. He communicates with us. He leads us. He teaches us. He trains us. How many people have ever been taught, trained, directed, etc. by a ghost? I didn't think so. The Bible refers to him as a him. Jesus says, I'm going to send an advocate to you. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit prays for us. When you sit down there, I'm going to pray. Okay, don't pretend none of y'all have done this, okay? You sit there and you don't know what to say. The Holy Spirit's praying for you. It'll give you the words of what to say. That's really hard for a ghost to do, okay? Other than like Casper, most ghosts don't talk. Moving on. So, the Holy Spirit is the advocate sent by the Father to live inside His people. We can have a joy-filled life because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. No matter what our circumstances, it gives us the actual source and reason for our joy. Instead of looking around going, school sucks, home sucks, life sucks, we get to draw our joy from the Holy Spirit that actually lives inside of us. Okay? So, how many have heard of the fruit of the Spirit? No, fruit of the Spirit, okay? So it's the fruit of who? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Where's the fruit come from? The Holy Spirit. It grows out of us. We get the gifts, we get the fruit because the Holy Spirit lives in us. He has a conversation with us, okay? Not a ghost, an actual man, being, person, thing that can be communicated with and to and through. So, this is going to make a lot more sense in the coming weeks. The triune nature, the Trinity, the idea of three in one, when it comes to God, is critical for our belief in Christianity. It's not three different gods. It's one with three different parts. It's the egg as a whole with three different parts. Okay? We've got to be able to focus on this. We've got to be able to understand this to the best of our ability and why we have overall a God the Father in the Old Testament, God the Son in the first four books of the New Testament, and God the Holy Spirit in the other 23. Like I said, every single week we're going to come back to this question. This is what we're going to focus on. Everything in life you do depends on what you do with Jesus. Is He an actual part of the Trinity, of the Godhead, of the triune nature? Or is He just a man? When you determine that, you get to determine who you're going to follow and what you're going to do with the rest of your life. Okay? You can go explore this more in small groups.